Hello, brethren. Today we have dread and circuses. The word dread, the verb to anticipate with great apprehension or fear, the noun great fear or apprehension, and the adjective greatly feared and dreadful. Well, here we are. Somewhere near the end of time, hopefully. Apprehensive, anyone? The commoners of this world bow and chafe under the yoke of maniacal overlords, liars of the greatest magnitude, and by their insatiable hunger for wealth and power, the bulk of mankind is being driven backwards into deeper poverty and chilling dread. Compliments of the principalities that truly rule the overlords and the world at this time. We are being fed a constant diet of dire predictions and false hope for our rescue from oblivion if we just stay put and stay broke and stay vaccinated by their devilish concoctions. And pardon moi, despotism and tyranny have been endemic since Cain murdered Abel, so there's really nothing new here. The prophet Micah said this 150 years before the Babylonian dispersion. It is quite timely today also, as many a prophecy which was given to and for the nation of Israel about the times that they lived in are absolutely carbon copies of the times we live in. So, Micah chapter 7, verse 1 through 6. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asks, and the judge asks for a reward, and the great man, he utters his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchmen and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust you not in a friend. Put you not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of your mouth from her that lies in your bosom. For the son dishonors the father, the daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Jesus said something like that too, didn't he? I am sure we can recall many a scripture describing the times in which we live, including the state of men's and women's hearts following the advent of Father Christ, our Christ. At this point in time, the sojourners are witness to a horrific spirit of dread pouring like rain upon the world. But the sojourners haven't gotten wet yet, have they? Nope. AI is the new consciousness, dazzling us with its uncanny resemblance to our minds. AI is only as good as its programmers, and now that it seems that ones and zeros can think and act as independent entities, our learned alchemists seek to merge humans with their hellish progenies. As it was in the days of Noah, anyone? Many of our learned scholars who, by the way, care only for the world and its politics and gain, openly embrace the tightening coils of the will of the old serpent, chanting the mantra of change, prosperity, light, transcendence, and reset, and even rising above their humanity to merge with their technology to become as gods. The more they near a convergence with immortality, a singularity event, the darker and darker it gets. It sounds like the days of Noah, doesn't it? Doesn't the story of Noah allude to the cold, hard fact that Noah and his family were about the only humans left that were still human, in genetic terms? Sure it does. And what happened to the transhuman inbred population of the earth in Noah's day? Yep. Wouldn't all of us wish to transcend our failing humanity? I admit I would. But I'll wait until I may receive my redemption, thanks. And excuse me if I can't be polite to robots. They that did feed delicately are desolate in the streets. They that were brought up in scarlet embrace dunghills. Lamentations 4:5. Kind of sounds like today, huh? So as the workaday world struggles for food and shelter, as rising crime, double standards galore, dreading the losses which eat their worlds apart, wars, famines, pestilences, death, natural disasters, and cosmic upheavals, they retreat to another conveniently provided fantasy world trap of fake reality. Circuses straight from hell, friends. Our iPhones are our best friends. Drugs are becoming legal now. Little booze, little blow, it'll take the pain away. For sure. We dig into the world of sports and vain amusements to escape the worries for a while or to forget the present pervasive dread, that fateful knock on the door, eviction, hunger, that dreaded predicted inability to travel or enter a business or school unless clean of the plague. Their surrender to their baseless fears and homage to the corporate god of this world has already marked them for their idolatry. It's sad, but what cheers me up as I watch this deception and mass shakedown, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid, is their own foot taken. Take heart, brethren, saints, and remember 1 Kings 19:18. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden down my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Jeremiah 12:10. Thanks to the wolf preachers and pastors out there, the majority of those calling themselves Christians today are as polluted as the world they have not forsaken. They wallow in the many pleasures they have amassed and seek to hold tightly to them, the lies of prosperity making them deaf to the truth, and they are mad upon their idols. Their comfort is in the same cheesy trough which the rest of the world feeds from. The countless false shepherds are having a field day lately. Father says today, even as he did in Ezekiel's day, "And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley or for pieces of bread, to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live? By your lying to my people that hear your lies?" I suppose they will. I suppose they still do indeed. And the majority of worldly Christians yet live out Isaiah's words, "To the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits." They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Yeah, but who listened to Jeremiah, right? There was a remnant. And no, it's not time for a ridiculous, unscriptural altar call. I won't tell anyone to get sorry and ask Jesus into their lives and get converted. Not ever. It's perverted evangelism. The preachers who peddle this tripe shall reap a cold place in darkness for this. The sorrow which ensues from such a conversion is worldly sorrow, a sorrow for their skins, not their souls. Thus a false conversion. No, there is another sorrow, godly sorrow, which is a gift, along with all others to those in Christ, including the much-disputed love of the truth, a sorrow for the offenses committed against and before the Father. There can be no conversions without this gift or the calling by the Spirit. John chapter 6, anybody? And as Lazarus could not rise from the grave on his own, neither can one experience godly sorrow, which is a gift of God to those chosen by him. Just a little reminder, 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Worldly self-generated sorrow works death, spiritual death. Oh, I see. In the midst of our sins and depravity, some guy on a street corner can get us to muster up a glimmer of sorrow for offending God. We can think nothing, say nothing, or do nothing to save ourselves, period. Jesus Christ says it himself, without me ye can do nothing. So who gives it to you, saints? You? Multitudes, including Christians, have created God and their own renditions of salvation in their own image. And the enemy has got these coming and going. There's no escape, friends. That is something to truly dread. And they shall come and shall rest, all of them, in the desolate valleys and in the holes of the rocks and upon all thorns and upon all bushes. Isaiah 7:19. And then what? Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Psalm 34:9. These are heady, dangerous, and dreadful times. And as there is nothing new under the sun, those of the contrary spirit alive in this world are falling into the same old traps set for the world before its foundations were laid. The world faces a sinister choice. Dread or circuses, or both. The saints continue as pilgrims on their journey. The world hates God, and the seemingly ageless contempt for him and his Savior has brought the thunder of judgment from the sky. The saints fear God out of reverence, in his love, and with thanksgiving. And as was asked of Job, shall not his excellency make you afraid and his dread fall upon you? As there are two kinds of sorrow, there are two kinds of dread. God has great mercy and terrible wrath. And to those saints who may have slid toward doubt or dread in these times of despair, panic, and chaos, and the lies of ever-changing truths, raise up your great shield of faith and remember Isaiah's words received of our God and Father. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Is this redemption something to turn your back upon? I hope not. Where is the fury of the oppressor, saints? Where is it? Doesn't the fear and terror reside in the carnal world and in the carnal mind? In the lives of the saints of God, it is a totally spiritual experience. Our dread emanates from our spirits, fearing the loss of our way, sliding into the carnal realm, as we war in the spirit in the unseen realms. Hence, we're under fierce attack that we hand over our souls to the enemy. We will not enter into a satanic circus of dead pleasures. It is not about our carnal lives or our possessions or rights, what have you. We should strive, agonize, to remain as the grafted branches in the vine which is Christ. If we produce no fruit of the gifts of the Spirit which return to our Father through Christ, we will either be pruned back in painful chastisement, or the withered branch will be plucked off and cast into the fire. Nice thought, huh? Isn't it a true blessing to be able to see into both worlds these days? Exciting? I'd say so. Praise the Lord for opening the eyes of the few to what it is really about with the true Ecclesia. It's still your choice, carnal or spiritual, sorrow of the world or godly sorrow, one master, one road, broad or narrow. We are hid in Christ. Think about it. And to close, as Isaiah stated, so too I repeat, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.